when Paul talks about how Jesus gave himself for the church. You know what? These mothers have given themselves. Statistics and research shows that when a mother gives birth, it actually does significant damage to her body. Men, kids, our mothers have chosen to make sacrifices for us.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor David Van Beber. In his sermon this week titled, The Faithful Mother, Brother Dave preached from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 14. We hope you'll enjoy Brother Dave's message, and we would like to wish all of the mothers out there a happy Mother's Day.
Well, I will begin this morning by confessing that Mother's Day is like the hardest sermon for me to plan. I don't know why. I guess it's because, number one, I'm not a mother. Number two, I've learned a lot about mothers considering I've lived with one here for a while, and I didn't live with one for about 12 years before that. So that was quite the thing. And so I feel a little unqualified, as if I would be someone who would tell mothers how to do something. But I do have this great, great document, God's inspired and errant word. And it does give me direction and it does give me confidence. And before we get into our main text, I want to begin by looking at Psalm 139. If you want to turn over with me to Psalm 139, and I'd like to share just a little bit of Psalm 139 with you. If you all haven't noticed before, this is just one of the Psalms that I am drawn to over and over and over again. Verse 13 makes me think so much of Mother's Day. For you formed my inward parts, and you wove me together in my mother's womb. God has given mothers a privilege that men will never have, and that is to know what it is to have a life inside of them. Turn over, just move down a little bit here to verse 16. I love this verse. For your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written the days, all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. God saw from the foundations of the earth the mother that he was going to direct you to. And there was a purpose for where you were formed, and how you were formed, and when you were formed, and God was going to receive ultimate glory for that. And there's a testimony that you're here today. Now, maybe some have come just because I have two siblings, and I know that both of them don't generally get to make it to church on Sundays, but boy, on Mother's Day, they are there. I know they love the Lord, but boy, I'm so glad that they'll honor my mother with that. That's a great thing. God has this great design for us from the very beginning, from the foundations of the world, it says in Ephesians. Mother's Day is a day where we get to celebrate, recognize, and observe that incredible, incredible calling that God has put on the lives of women. There's a lot of pressure, again, as I said, on Mother's Day for me to preach. So before we get into our sermon, I am going to ask a mother to pray for me. Surely I have told you before that I'd ask you to pray, and so am I okay to have you pray over God's Word today as we get into it? Let's turn over to Acts chapter 1. We've been in Acts, and I didn't want to leave Acts as I got into the Mother's Day sermon, and our text today is very brief. And you might think, Pastor Dave, how are you going to draw one sermon out of this whole text right here? But I think that there's something really great here. Let's stand in honor of God's Word as we read it here. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all, with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Be seated. This is the last verse we hear, the last instance we know of Jesus' mother Mary. And what's she doing? She's with other believers. and she's praying. And she's with the other women and she's praying. And she's continually devoting herself to the truth of the gospel. Now, here's something that I want us to make sure that we contextualize correctly. When we look at the gospel of John, right? John chapter 19, we see, where was Mary? She was at the foot of the cross, right? We know that because what happens? Jesus looks down from the cross in reverence to his earthly mother and says, this guy here is going to take care of you. Folks, there was something that was unique about that relationship. Mary had this incredible privilege to worship the Lord, and God had chosen her to indwell her with the Holy Spirit and to put Christ in her. Great, beautiful psalm is in Luke chapter 2, where Mary begins to praise the Lord for choosing her and using her. Now, mothers, you know so much what that is like, to have that incredible gift, that incredible blessing of a life grown inside of you and looking to the future. But Mary didn't always do the correct things with this child. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, I want to show you this position of Mary recognizing Jesus Christ as the Lord. It seems like at first she knows that it's God who has sent Jesus through the Holy Spirit into her life. But as days go on, she begins to get some doubt. I imagine there was a lot of doubt when she stood in at the foot of the cross and looked up at her son who had God had promised all these great things with, and she didn't understand. Mothers know and understand the difficulty it is to look at a child and be concerned for their future. And of course, Mary is doing that in Matthew chapter 12, verse 46. While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. Someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But Jesus answered the one who was telling him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. You know what's awesome about this? Where is Mary after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? She's with the believers. She is a follower. She isn't deterred. She has chosen Christ as Lord. Mothers, there are many errors that we make. Do not be discouraged. I want to turn to another piece of scripture, and I'm being a little systematic in some of my survey of motherhood. Again, I don't feel like I have this great authority on how to tell mothers to do this and that. I will tell you this. My dad told me as we began to visit on Friday about what my Mother's Day sermon was, and I said, I'm going to do a survey of motherhood in the scripture and some great examples of that. He said, Dave, whatever you do, don't preach on 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 28 to 30. I don't know if any one of you are familiar with that text. He said, Dave, the worst Mother's Day sermon that I've ever given. And I won't share too much in the two horrible mothers. He gave an example of two horrible mothers in that scripture. You want to look at it later. He said, Dave, just don't preach on that, because I preached on that one Mother's Day and a guy told me he would probably never come back to my church. He did choose to, but so I know that you can make some mistakes on Mother's Day sermons. And I thought the best way to avert that was to look at some really incredible examples of motherhood. And of course, we see this great example in Mary. And what is that again? What is that mother doing in Acts chapter 1, verse 14? She's continually meeting with other believers. Continually in prayer with men and women who are of a similar faith. That mother takes seriously her call to meet with other believers. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. Those of you who aren't familiar with 1 Samuel chapter 1, it's the story of Hannah. And Hannah was not able to have a child. She was not able to give birth. And she was, of course, very distressed about this, very hurt about this, and thought that God had turned his eye against her. But she was a woman who knew that the Lord was in charge. And it says in verse 9 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorstep of the temple of the Lord. She, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. Why is she distressed? Because she believes her womb is closed. Verse 11, she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, I will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. I can tell you right now, and I'm sure many mothers can agree to this, dedicate that child to the Lord right away. Give that child to the Lord right away. Know that it is the Lord's life. Hannah does this. And what happens to Samuel? Samuel becomes a great prophet. It came at a cost to Hannah. As we know later in the story, what happens? She has to bring young Samuel to the temple to Eli as a young boy. She doesn't see him but once in a very long while. But man, the way that God used Samuel as a prophet, the way that God spoke vocally to Samuel, who trained up Nathan, it was because it was a mother who spent time dedicating her child's life in prayer so that good things would happen, so that God would use this life. And it came at a cost to her. Folks, when we go back and look at John chapter 19, men, our mothers, sacrificed a lot. Young ladies, your mothers sacrificed a lot. I was so fortunate on Saturday. I was able to preach Saturday evening, actually. I was able to preach at a wedding. And one of the things I talked about was in chapter 5, when Paul talks about how Jesus gave himself for the church. You know what? These mothers have given themselves. Statistics and research shows that when a mother gives birth, it actually does significant damage to her body. Men, kids, our mothers have chosen to make sacrifices for us. And the best thing that a mother can do is to dedicate continually that child to the Lord. Please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23. What do we see in a faithful mother? A faithful mother is one who prays, one who makes mistakes, one who supports their child in victory and in defeat. A mother dedicates her children's lives to the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 25, Solomon writes, "Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you." When we recognize, and of course when we look at Jesus' example in John 19, he knew that there was a reverence that he needed to have for his mother. Well, this is a challenge to all young folks, even to me today. In fact, yesterday I was at my parents' home, and I remembered how incredibly important it was when I was a child for my father to tell me to speak correctly to my mother. In fact, I had shared with the kids, you know what, I know to this day that if I'm not reverent to my mother, my old father will come out and he will correct me verbally. But you know what, I don't have to worry about that because there has been a reverence built in. Folks, our challenge for us, even today when I think of my mother, is to think of her with reverence. God calls us. In fact, Jesus says, honor your father and mother. It is the first commandment with a promise. You know what? I love going to church on Mother's Day. In fact, if I understood correctly from what I had read, it is the third most attended Sunday of the year, Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day, right? Or the days of high church attendance. Why is that? Because mothers like to see their kids serving the Lord. Mothers like to see their children serious about a relationship with the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 reads, "For I am mindful," of course, Paul writing to Timothy in one of his last letters, "for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I am sure it is in you as well." You know, I spent a lot of time going to worship with my father. In fact, my dad was a pastor of two churches at the same time when I was younger. And so every month, one of us kids would ride with him over to the other little country church that he was a pastor of and then come back to the other church, right? And so we'd spend time. But some of my first prayers, in fact, I was so fortunate when I prayed to receive Christ, my mom was with me. Mothers have an incredible impact on our spiritual development. And it's so interesting, isn't it? In a society, when Paul writes to Timothy, right? We're in a very man-centered, very masculine-centered society. And isn't it interesting that Paul doesn't mention a man in the picture? It's an incredible challenge on the mother. An incredible challenge on the mother to build up spiritually. So what do we see? Mothers are prayers. Mothers make mistakes, but support their children in defeat. And in turn, receive reverence. Mothers dedicate their children to the Lord. Mothers have a privileged position. And mothers have an incredible impact on the spiritual lives of their children. One last bit of scripture here today, as we can continue through our systematic survey of motherhood in the Scripture. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Some of you know this proverb really well, right? For those of you who aren't familiar, the book of Proverbs written by Solomon are all just that, little proverbs of wisdom. It's a father writing to his son, right, about things that he can do to live a righteous life, to live in wisdom. And what's so crazy, in the last chapter of this book, it is written and dedicated to what? To a mother. And here's what it says in Proverbs 31:17 about a mother, a righteous mother. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Now, I'll have to tell you something right now. Mothers have a different strength than fathers. Women have a different strength than men. And I don't know of many women that think, man, I can't wait to get strong arms. But it's actually a little bit of an analogy here, isn't it? We think about the mother bear who protects the spirituality, the spiritual faith, and the spiritual governance of her home. There's a very serious call. If you're here today, it's because of a mother who did right, a mother who was strong, a mother who was forceful. Verse 25, jumping down. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. Mothers who love the Lord are clothed in dignity. Why is that? Because they know their kids aren't going to go out and break their heart, because they know their kids are walking with the Lord. They don't have to worry about what's going to happen because they've dedicated that child's life to the Lord. 28, her children rise up and bless her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but none but you excel them all. Isn't it a great day to be able to come to worship the Lord with our mothers? In Luke chapter 2, verse 21, Jesus is only 8 days old, and he comes into the temple, and who's he with? Well, Luke writes that he's with mom and dad. And what do? They dedicate his life to service for the Lord. You know, Mary didn't always remember that. In Matthew chapter 12, we have her saying, come on back, boy, you're crazy. But there she is in the end, faithful to the Lord, faithful to her son, and faithful to the church. Why can we celebrate Mother's Day? Because God has given us an incredible gift. I love my dad. I've cried with my dad and hugged him. But I'll tell you what, I think we all know it. Mothers give us a sense of security and protection that we never had. Isn't it crazy on the battlefield? I've read some accounts of D-Day, and on the beaches of Normandy, men weren't crying out for their dads. They were crying out for their moms. God created a special bond. He chose mothers in a special way to have their child knit together in the womb. So we respect the Lord by honoring our mothers today. Now, I know this hasn't been the most evangelistic message, but I'll tell you this. I was so glad when my mom prayed with me to receive Christ, right? I remember her being so excited. Man, what a great thing to see all your children come to the Lord. Today we're going to have a hymn of invitation. And as we have this hymn of invitation, those of you who have made Christ your Lord, you can celebrate a mother who brought you up fearing the Lord and loving salvation. And if you haven't made that decision today, I want to encourage you to make that decision, to make Jesus the Lord of your life.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you've prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.